Hey, y'all, welcome back to Erase the State. Matty K here. Actually, Mikey Two Names is going to be joining us at some point as soon as he puts baby Two Names down to bed. But again, we have another awesome ass guest this week. I think most of you know him and love him. Citizen Hush, the fuck is up, man?
Hey, what's going on, bro? Thanks for having me here. You got a really good voice for this.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I have a great radio voice for a 300 download per episode podcast. Yeah.
I've got a face for radio also, so yeah, it works out.
No, man. Well, hey, thanks for joining us. I know we've been trying to do this for quite a while, so I'm very excited we could finally make it work. I've followed you for a while because of like guns and pew pew shit. But you know, so I wasn't sure quite, you know, what kind of dude you were, if you were like, you know, conservative,
I'm libertarian. Yeah.
No judgment. We're not judging here.
The thing about me and like how I act on the internet is like, that's like my release. Like it is for most people. Like I'm not
absolutely
there, but I try to, like, the personality you see on the internet is more or less how I am in real life. The autism might be turned to 11, but naturally I'm already at 10, so it's not that bad.
I think that's most of us. That's definitely most of us. So, I mean, why don't you tell us, you know, how, like I said before we started recording, how did you get to be the way that you are, you know? So you're based in Texas, right? Are you from Texas originally?
No, I'm actually from Virginia. About 30 minutes north of the Carolina border, it's the largest landmass within Hampton Roads, but it's the smallest town. It's a rural place called Suffolk, Virginia. Our claim to fame is the Peanut Factory and Smithfield Ham's headquarters is like 20 minutes away from where I grew up. That's pretty much all we have.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm from Virginia, and I moved to Texas for a lot of the tech jobs that are coming out here. I lived in D.C., the belly of the beast for a minute. Are you familiar with the Cato Institute, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I interned at the Cato Institute in grad school.
Actually. Oh, nice. Okay.
And I was in their international trade department, where I was the absolute worst intern of all time. Like I pretty much just gambled with the other interns and smoked cigarettes back when I, and then I think my old boss at Cato, he follows me on Twitter still. And, I think he like came really close to firing me because he found out like I wasn't actually doing anything. I was just like, cause like the way it works at Cato is they pair you with a scholar and, you're supposed to do like research with them. Well, I don't know what happened, but the scholar I was working with, super smart guy, like he just never reached out to me and the other intern. Oh, and so like after about 2 months of like just being on the internet and getting paid to argue with people on the internet, like we just kind of embraced the absurdity of it and basically just went full degenerate.
That's awesome. As well, you should have. That's perfect. So he's probably going to see this. If he follows you, I'm going to tag you when this comes out. So he'll hear this. So, you know, you should have fired him, but don't be mad. It's not his fault.
Yeah, I think he came to the realization of it. He was like, what have you been working on for the last 4 months? And I was like, I wrote this op-ed that almost got published. Nice. Nice. And I smoked a lot of cigarettes.
Yeah. Solid work. So,
yeah,
but exactly. now you're here in the greatest country in America. So you've always been kind of like liberty centric then, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't say, I think I evolved from being hardcore liberty centric. I volunteered on Ron Paul's campaign in 2012. Okay. Went back to being apolitical and I don't care. I think the 2012 election and living in DC for several years kind of broke me. And I just stopped caring and money. Acquiring money became my focus.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, my political views, I think, are more, I don't really see them as political views as I see them more as, like, it's loaded as a term and silly of a term this is, but, like, life philosophy. Like, I'm an ANCAP. And then, like, pragmatically, I just say I'm a libertarian just because I don't want to go into what about the roads.
Yeah. Fuck them ho-ass roads.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, my master's degree is in economics from George Mason. There's big Austrian economics train of thought within GMU. And so I delved pretty deep into, like, a lot of the Austrian, as well as some of the more orthodox economics. Like, what I appreciated about my master's program was, like, they taught Keynesian economics, they would teach it, and they're like, this is what you learned in a lot of master's programs, and, like, and this is another way of looking at it. And that's how they introduced a lot of Austrian stuff. And I just got tired of kind of, like, the mental jiu-jitsu and, like, having the same arguments with people on the internet and in person. And then I was just like, I'm just going to mind my business.
Just
focus on money.
Yeah, no, I'm there too. I mean, I every now and then, I mean, I'm a, you know, born and raised in Texas, very red family, you know, so always been kind of like that conservative neocon, you know, vacillate back and forth just because I didn't know any better, you know, and then you flirt with the liberty ideas and then all of a sudden you're like, fuck it, I'm an anarchist.
Yeah.
I always kind of knew that I was because I had a lot of questions and I questioned everything. I'm an only child. That explains most of my neuroses, most likely. So I've questioned literally everything throughout my life. And I always questioned, like, you know, like the whole authority thing and, like, why does this work this way? Why does the government do this? This doesn't make any fucking sense. And then all of a sudden I was just like, you know what? I'm going to dive headlong into it. I am absolutely an anarchist. But like you said, when you tell somebody you're an anarchist, it's a little off-putting to them, you know?
Yeah.
If they're not sort of, you know, versed in, not that I'm well versed in the philosophy either, but if they're not up to speed on kind of what's going on, they just assume that, you know, you're another bomb thrower or just, you know, you want to, like, you're more libertine than libertarian. Right.
Yeah.
So I struggle with labels. I just say I'm a philosophical anarchist. I'm a pragmatic minarchist, you know?
Yeah. And then people are like, wait, what's a minarchist? Is that Democrat or Republican?
Right, right. I'm like, we can't be friends anymore. We can't have this conversation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, and for me too, like, the other thing is, and I'm sure you've encountered this a lot too, is, like, I also found that I just don't like most ANCAPs and most libertarians. Like, I'm just like, I just would not fuck with you in real life.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Why are you this way?
Yeah, there are a lot of people like that. I think a lot of that is just, which, look, I'm an old man. I'm in my late 30s now. So I think a lot of that is just, to me, you know, like, younger generation, just maybe growing up more on the internet than I did. And they're not, which I'm already, like, regretting saying I'm old because I have a lot of older friends who are going to be like, what the fuck, dude? Like, you're not, we thought you were young. But, you know, and you're probably younger than I am, you know, but, like, I think y'all are more. Yeah,
I think you're like 6 years older than me. Or something, okay, like that.
But y'all are more, I think, you know, used to dealing with internet type conversations, and, you know, for better or worse. And you know how it is. You know, you have a day job too, right? So, like, you're firing off emails or texts or whatever, and it just doesn't quite come across the way that you want it to because there's no tone, there's no inflection in your voice. Like, you don't get the wink at the end, right?
And it ruins your day.
Right, right. So I think a lot of that kind of, that happens online. And so most of these people, I'm just like, man, fuck that guy. Like, we might line up 100% on everything, but it's just like, dude's a douche, whatever. But no, it's funny though. Cause even, I mean, and I do struggle with this. This is my political past, right? So I do, like, trying to convert people or at least, like, making people think about certain things. Like, I've got some, you know, my son plays baseball and basketball. One of the baseball dads, like, we're a very tight group. The team has been together for a very long time. And, you know, he's an unabashed, you know, Democrat, liberal, and but we're like we're really good friends. We have a lot in common. Just politically, we're you know 180 degrees apart. But you know, we've had some not in depth discussions, but minor, you know, just not even really philosophical discussions, but just like you know, scratching the surface on you know. Anarchist thought, like how things would work, like roads and stuff like that, private property rights and things like that.
Or education. You know, and,
right, right. And so we can have these discussions, right? But so I like to try and, you know, make people at least think. Like I didn't convert him, but he just like, you know, you got some good points. I appreciate where you're coming from. So, you know, the other day, like whenever something comes up about like the Constitution or people are like, oh, it's, you know, our constitutional rights are being violated. It's like some state action and not like like the capital S state. I mean, like a state, like one of the 50 states like did something like, oh, constitutional rights being violated. I'm the guy because I'm very anarchist, libertarian, autistic. And it's like, well, actually, you know, the Bill of Rights was never intended to apply to the states. And that caused this like shitstorm with a few people. Like a literal few, not like I created some you know hubbub or anything, but there's a few people who, you know, you click on the profile and like you see who follows them and they follow and it's like, Jesus Christ, man, like you got a lot of black and gray people following you and like I just don't understand like why you're like I got called a statist and like it just I don't know, it was very very odd.
Yeah.
So if y'all listen, I don't know, I'm sorry, and if you see this, whatever, I don't give a fuck. It's just it is what it is, but like. You know, I'm trying to like point stuff out like that just to make people think like, hey, like even in the system that we're living in, like this is not the way it was designed to be. Like it could have been a little bit better. It's still very oppressive, but it could have been a little bit better. And we allow these things to happen. But yeah, I mean, they fucking flip shit. So anyway, I say all that to say this, but sometimes, you know, like I regret dipping my toe in the in the political side of things too often, but it is fun to keep up with and watch and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I try to keep most politics. I get sucked into it once in a while on Twitter, mm-hmm, but like mm-hmm. I try to keep it removed from Twitter. And like the most that I'll consciously allow myself to get into is like making fun of things.
Yeah.
And then sometimes like I'll see something that gets me really pissed off, like this ATF ruling yesterday about like the Q honey badger being an SBR.
Yeah.
And like. That I was able to like control myself a little bit better with that, but like sometimes I'll recognize I start getting into a pissing contest with people, and yeah. I just have to rein myself out.
Yeah.
And then like for me, like I look at Twitter as a way. Twitter for me is like an expression of my hobby of like guns, right. Making people laugh, and like being a nice person.
yeah. No, it's that's funny because you do run a very light and very fun Twitter account, right? And I can see like when you get taken into those conversations, you're like, what the fuck? Like, this is getting way too serious now. Like, I just wanted to have fun. Like this shit post like, turned really serious.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, you really want me to like express the nuances of competing currencies in 280 characters? Exactly. I was like, nah, exactly. Dog.
Yeah. That's kind of where
you
I was.
You gotta buy me dinner for that.
Yeah. Well, and so, okay. So Mikey Two Names is in the waiting room. I'm going to let him in here. Let's see. Mikey. Oh, connecting.
There we go.
Let's see if he doesn't blow this up like last time he tried to join us late. Oh, I hear a bing. Mikey. Mikey, are you there?
That was on my end.
Oh, damn it. What up, man? Oh, there he is, Mikey.
Dude, what's going on?
Dude, well, sorry, we're into the show, man. Yeah, we're like 10 minutes in, dude. Just, you know, dude, I'm ready for your contribution now.
Did I interrupt anything important?
No. I waited to finish a thought, and then I'll let you into the group chat.
No, I'll have you guys. So when you reached out to me, Matt, I looked you guys up on Spotify, and I'll have you guys know you are the only political podcast that I follow on Spotify now.
Oh, nice. Nice. That's awesome. If we could just get all your 100,000 followers to also follow us, that would be outstanding.
Yeah. Go follow,
yeah, we could all monetize shit together.
If anyone's listening to this from my Twitter, go follow them on Spotify. Are you guys on YouTube?
No, we don't do YouTube. I probably should, but that's just a lot more work from my end.
You can just like you can just basically take the same file and upload it.
Yeah, I know. I need to. I need to do that. I'll make Mikey do that. Mikey, what do you think?
Oh, dude, I'm so stressed out just in life right now. I don't need another one. Well, that's why I'm late, man, and I do apologize. It's,
oh, you're good, bro.
So I had to put the baby to sleep downstairs. He's sleeping in our room, and then my wife commandeered my office. She has all my mics and my screens because she has, I guess, nurses. They have to do the state board test every year.
Yeah.
And she's all stressed out, so she kicked me out of my office. So I came upstairs. I'm in one of the guest rooms, laying down in a bed right now because it's the place I was exiled to.
Ah, yes. It's one of those podcasts. We've done a few of these.
I know. So I'm exiled in a dark corner because I can't disturb her and I can't disturb the newborn. So me and the dog are upstairs. So
nice.
Yeah, that's my bad.
It's all good, man.
Well, Citizen Hush, I think we're probably at a good point. We've discussed your background. So let's discuss the present. How'd you get into guns, man?
I was actually everyone thinks that, like, just because of A, how many guns I have, B, how often I shoot, and then C, probably how much I talk about guns, that, like, I've been around guns my whole life. I was actually fairly late to guns. Like, I shot a Marlin 22 when I was a kid that my dad had, and then pellet guns and Daisy Red Rider. Yep. But it wasn't until, like, I could actually afford guns that I got into them. Yeah. And then I just went full autist with it.
Yeah, it's like guns and tattoos, right? Like, once you buy one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're very, very similar. I think all the tattoos I have, I got within 6 months of my first tattoo.
that's perfect.
but I was pretty late to the game, and like I'm an engineer by training, and it was the mystique of guns, particularly the AR-15. It was right around Sandy Hook or whatever, and I was like, I don't know anything about this. I know it's the gun I choose in video games. And it was largely like trying to understand why everyone was so pissed off about it, and then B, like, the engineering behind it too. Being able to build my first gun was a pretty fun experience. I don't build ARs anymore just because I'm tired of losing all the little springs and stuff.
Yes, yes, very
but,
careful.
I'd say that's probably one component, and then the other one's like I've always been into, like, martial arts and stuff, and okay. Self-defense was always something that was important to me, and like being able to protect yourself, and then B, secondarily, be able to protect those around you and those that you care about. And I think firearms are just a natural extension of that. And so, like, I before the beer flew, I was shooting like 3 to 5 times a week. Like, I was going through 1 to 2,000 rounds of ammo a month.
Fuck.
I'm thankful enough to have a private gun club about a quarter mile from my house. So, like, I could effectively just walk to go shoot. If you've seen any of the clips I've posted on Twitter, like, that's Tim Kennedy actually shoots out there. So does Alex.
Oh, nice. Yeah, nice. Has he eaten your ass yet?
But yeah, it's a cool private self-regulated, no RSOs or anything. Like,
that's nice.
Basically, members regulate the environment. It used to be open 24 hours, but some noise complaints came.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sun up, sun down now. But unless you're suppressed,
I go to one like that sometimes. Back home, it's in Beaumont, so near home. Okay. But
I got family in Beaumont.
Oh, nice. Well, let's talk about that offline. But a friend, it's not a friend. It's my aunt's husband. So I guess, like, uncle. He's not the first husband. The first husband died, long story, whatever. So I just call him my aunt's husband, right? But he's a member of this private gun club. It's all fucking, like, over 70 FUDs, but, like, no one's ever fucking out there. Like, you just kind of take care of your own shit, sweep up, make sure that all the targets get put back up and where they're supposed to be, you know, in their little room, and you're good to go. So my wife and I did our license to carry training out there and all that with him, and it was cool, you know. So we go shoot out there for the holidays and stuff like that when we're back home. But those are very nice. I like the private gun club. Yeah,
yeah, me too. But I can't shoot indoor. Like, I have a membership to an indoor range. It's like 3 miles from my house.
Indoor's terrible, dude.
The rage at Austin. And what is it? I go there to like sight in my hunting rifles, and then like I leave just because I can't do it. I can't deal with it.
Indoor's cool until, even with ear pro, the dude rolls up next to you with like the super cool, hi Mikey, with super cool fucking SBR like right in your fucking ear, and it doesn't matter how good your ear protection is, like you're deaf when you're done. It's I don't like indoor ranges. It's terrible. Or we just go to Mikey's place. Mikey's place is cool too.
Yeah, I got a ranch about 20 minutes west of here, so I got kind of lucky growing up. My great grandfather homesteads some land, passed it down, so we got to go out there and shoot. I went to a gun range one time in my entire life, and I could never go back. Just the rules, the regulations, and I like to be able to go sit down. You know, if you want to have a beer, you can have a beer. We're not idiots, of course. I got some buddies that can't allow back anymore, right?
We've done some questionable things out there.
We've had quite a few near misses, but we learned from them, and I love outdoor shooting. Absolutely love it.
Thankfully, no one showed up on basalts or anything in my
yet. So, I guess before we get two more into guns, like what sort of martial arts are you into, and what's your experience there?
Yeah, so I started out as a kid doing like Muay Thai and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. This is around like the early days of UFC,
Dangerous days.
Yeah, exactly. Like the punch him in the dick days.
That's right. That's right. Fish hooks allowed.
So I was thankful to like start with those two, which as UFC started incorporating more rules through natural selection, like those two became, along with wrestling, became the dominant styles. Yeah. And then I wrestled in middle school, did a Krav Maga for a while in college, and then Eskrima, Filipino stick fighting, Filipino knife fighting. And then once I got my first like real office job, I remember I was working in the BP oil spill settlement, and I was working with the Department of Justice to help programmatically detect folks who were submitting fraudulent claims, trying to scan the system. And I had my last fight actually the night before. And my nose started bleeding onto my suit in the middle of the meeting. I started like panicking because I was like, "Oh, these narcs are gonna think I'm on coke or something." Yeah. I just have a broken nose.
That's awesome. So were you like competing, or was that just like sparring in a gym somewhere?
I would say I was like, I did do competitions and stuff. But I wouldn't say like I was like balls to the wall with it.
Like, you're not like a prize fighter or anything.
Nah, I never made it that far. My knees and genetics wouldn't let me.
I hear you.
I did a few like submission only tournaments up in those are really popular now, from what I understand. But up in like rural Virginia, they had a bunch of U.S. grappling does a submission only tournament. No time limits, no points. You just go till someone taps. And then boxing was big for me too in college. I just kind of wandered. Whatever was interesting, I would just do for a couple months to a couple years, and then get my ass kicked left and right by people who are much bigger than I am.
that's good though. Mikey did that without any training in high school,
like strongman?
In college. No, wow, just fighting.
So I got beat up a few times. I learned ice isn't fun.
Yeah. Mikey is swole.
I did a lot of that too.
It took me to get my ass one time. I was like, ooh, I don't know what I'm doing.
That's when you started lifting.
I did a lot of unsanctioned fighting too.
There you go.
It's off the record.
we don't talk about that. It's the first rule.
Did you also, before we get to guns, I was just curious, you said you worked for the DOJ?
No, I was on the BP oil spill settlement. That was my first job out of college, and I was a data engineer there. And the Department of Justice was working very closely with the law firm that was handling the settlement, and there were lots of fraudulent medical claims. So, like, people who were like 800 miles inland from the Gulf submitting claims saying like their lung cancer was being caused by the oil spill, or like things that are very clear cut, that not that were not caused by the oil spill.
Yeah.
And so there were doctors who were like taking payment to like rubber stamp affidavits. We're like, oh yes, this was clearly caused by the oil spill.
Yeah. My aunt, that was her platform. She got laid off at BP after that.
Oh, damn.
She supported that platform for like 10 or 15 years, and then that shit happened. Fuck. She knew, I think, almost every single guy out there that died. And then,
on deep water?
Yeah, and then she was on the supply chain side. She was like the head analyst that helped, well, one of them that helped, you know, do logistics, get equipment out there, and any time, you know, anything was needed for the platform, they would source it, procure it, get the platform. Yeah, they cut that entire department. So she said, fuck oil. Now she's in nurse now too after. So
that's safer. I should have said that a long time ago when I was a baby engineer. I should have said, fuck
oil. Yeah, dude, I messed up being in oil and gas. Every day, like, my boss calls, I'm like, you still good?
Yeah. Dude, we're all working from home now, right? So, like, I was trying to log on. I'd gone to Lyft with Mikey. I come back and, like, my laptop is working, but, like, my phone won't log in to Outlook or Teams or any of that. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And, like, I'm like, oh, fuck. Do I need to call my boss? Like, am I fired? Like, do they kill my login?
Yeah, my one of my Twitter followers who I hung out with and didn't successfully get sodomized by he owns some, his dad owns some land down in Kennedy, Texas, and nice. He took me out there to go hog hunting one night and set up some hog pipes, and Marathon owns like all the wells down there in Kennedy. Yep. And this was at the beginning. And like we were seeing all of the welding trucks, like on an F-350, they have their own welding rigs set up. They're all just heading out at the start of all this. This is right when oil collapsed overnight almost. And his dad owns a company that like support Marathon. And like he gave us a tour of all the fields around there. He's like, yep, that one's plugged. That one's operating like 20% capacity, and like it was a ghost town, man. It was wild.
Lord, yeah, I feel like, man, I was out in Midland, Texas for 3 years, so okay. I came back right before the downturn, and dude, I went out there just to go check on some stuff. Oh my god, it's a ghost town now. And I rolled up to our office, they had 200 tabs lined up one day, and I was like, oh no. You went to your office door and you went to see if it would open, and if it was locked, that means they locked your door and you were fired. You had to go to HR, and they put you in a cab and they mailed you your shit home.
Jesus. Yeah, it's a fascinating industry because of like how like feast or famine it is. Like when the money's good, the money's good, but then like you got a plan. You got a plan for this.
Yeah, it's either like hookers and blow or baloney and candle
soup. That's absolutely right.
One or the other.
Can fucking confirm.
But yeah, sorry about that. I kind of got us off topic there.
Oh no, dude. It's fascinating. Do you guys see like this turning around, or do you think this is more protracted?
Well, I'm in drilling and completion. I'm starting to see Q4 ramp up is happening. We're starting to do a lot of procurement on our side to get ready for it. And my operators, I'm a global account manager, so I handle some of the largest operators in the world and in Texas, obviously. And it looks like Q1, everybody's starting to dip their toes in. I would say everyone's going to be at probably 40% of what they were doing in 2019 before the collapse, and then I would say Q3, at least on my end, from what I'm seeing forecasted, it should ramp back up pretty well.
Okay.
Barring COVID doesn't go on for 10 more years.
Yeah.
And then from my end,
I know some people would want that to happen.
From my end, I'm a sales manager for a basically a valve distributor. So we handle everything south of Mikey, right? So it's the midstream, downstream, food, light industrial, literally everything. And there ain't fucking shit going on, man. Like it's so slow. I mean, we're gonna lag upstream a little bit, right? But it's still pretty bad. We've still got like a major refiner and chemical company with plants in Houston, and they pushed this year's shutdown to next year, and then that got delayed until 2022. So they're not having shutdowns. Like they usually have it every year. They're not having shutdowns for 2 years. It's just, it's indicative. Like power plants normally have 2 outages a year. They're all going to 1. So it's just, it's not
the
times.
This is the whole myth. Dude, that whole there's no oil. Dude, what a fucking myth. We have so much oil. It's insane, dude. It is seeping out of the fucking ground. Like, you just go around West Texas or anywhere. West Texas wants to stay in the U.S. by 100 years. And that's just what we tapped into. Like, it's insane.
Yeah. It assumes no new supplies. So,
that's right. Yeah. Peak oil was a fucking myth in the, what, 80s, whenever that was. Yeah, it's a myth.
Oh, man. I remember hearing about peak oil in undergrad, like, 15 years ago.
That's all they ever talk about. And it's a myth.
Well, and that's why I'm not a chemist, obviously. Look at me. But but that's where I'm almost.
Well, you're a gym chemist.
there you go. But we're literally finding so much oil that I'm at the point now. Is it even a fucking fossil fuel, or is it just like highly pressurized minerals and rock that's just like reforming over time and it's just replenishing? Like I don't even know.
So I'm a degreed chemical engineer. I'm a real engineer, not like Car Campit, civil engineer. I love Car, man. No, I you're always taught that it makes a good cartoon, fossil fuels, dinosaurs dying, you know, if you're Christian, it's in the flood, right? Whatever, make oil compressed over years, like diamonds, right? Same thing. But there's no way, dude. There's no way it's a fossil fuel. Like it's just there's some other mechanism that creates that. Like it's just not possible. We have too much of it. Way too much.
Aliens.
Maybe. Or it's flat. Aliens. It's flat Earth. It could be flat Earth, and it's just like something that God has given us that we just keep getting.
Gotta get the anarcho-Christian guy on. Talk about that.
Yeah, we do need to get him on. He's an oil and gas guy too, actually, I think.
All of us are. That's how we survive, man.
Yeah, welcome to Texas. It is what it is.
And guns, right? Guns.
Yeah. And guns. Yeah. So back to guns. Are we good, Mikey? Can we go to guns now?
Yeah, I apologize. I'm just here to derail it.
Oh, no, dude. It was interesting. Throw
wrenches in it.
It's interesting. I love learning other people's industries.
So you bought your first gun, and then it became a fetish. You shoot a lot. Even though ammo is like really fucking expensive now. What do you recommend to people say, let's do it like a two-parter, right? So like for folks who have like, who would consider themselves gun people, you know, what do you recommend training wise, like shooting schedules? And then for folks who are new to guns, what do you recommend as far as first purchases and like the type of training that they should be doing?
Yeah. Well, put a disclaimer up first. I'm not a trainer. I'm just some dude who likes guns, and I'm figuring out as I go. But I actually came in through. I got into like the more quote unquote tactical shooting, but like by tactical shooting, people mean like grown ass man rolling around in the dirt playing G.I. Joe.
Yeah, right.
But I got in through long range shooting actually. So I used to do a lot of like 1,000-yard matches and stuff at an old long distance range that's no longer in business here in Central Texas. And once they shut down, I was like, well, what am I going to do now? So that's when I started like exploring free gun and stuff like that. Hmm. And then like free gun, I was like, y'all a bunch of nerds. I found running gun, which is just like pistol and rifle.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's more of my speed. Having that big caddy of shotgun shells hanging off, I was like, nah, I'm not doing that. For new gun owners, typically what I recommend is like pick up a .22 rifle, bolt action preferably, because then you can pace yourself and get some mechanics down. Because everyone loves the Magnum. And having that bolt action or other action .22, like, forces you to be disciplined and think about every shot. And then the fundamentals you learn from, like, trigger placement, trigger pull, breath control, like, all of that translates into a handgun, which everyone jumps into a handgun first, and that's usually why people don't practice, because they see all that, they suck with a handgun, and go from there. But, and then, like, on the training front, like, hey, you guys go to the gym. I treat it the same way. Like I especially now, because ammo's so hard to find. Like I don't go shooting unless I have a plan about something I want to work on that day. Speed and relative accuracy. Like I'll pick up like 2 boxes of ammo, and I'll be like, this box is for a draw from holster, fire, and or something on that, and then that's what that 1 box of ammo I was focused on. And being able to have a plan, and knowing your weaknesses too. Like I one thing I've noticed about the gun world is everyone thinks they're a better shot than they are, actually are, myself included. And I think you have to have a certain degree of like humility to like recognize where you suck. Like for me, the thing I've been working on the most is shooting with my non-dominant hand, so like being able to be ambidextrous, and that's basically what I've been working on for like 4 months now, or 6 months at this point. So I pretty much exclusively like have a box of ammo dedicated to shooting with my non-dominant hand with rifle, and then I've got a set of drills that I do for that, and then moving when shooting and stuff like that. These are other things. But yeah, just having a plan I think is important, and I think like my YouTube channel started out with just me posting clips on Twitter of just documenting my evolution, and it just kind of went from there. I originally lost like 5,000 followers in a week when I came out of the closet as a gunner.
Holy shit.
But yeah.
So what do you recommend then for, say, somebody who wants to get, say, like their 6-7-year-old son started?
What's that?
So say you want to get like your 6 or 7 year old son started, right? Like you got a young boy, you want to get a young boy started. What do you recommend starting them off on? Do you recommend starting them off on like a, say, a shotgun, right? Like a single shot 410 that they crack open. That way they can't, you know, fall and shoot someone. Do you recommend starting them with a pistol or with, like you said, a single shot 22?
Yeah, I think it really just depends on like what the kid's interested in, probably. Like if they want to get into bird hunting or clay shooting, then. Yeah, probably a single shot shotgun is probably a go. But if they just want to like feel the bang and like the excitement of a firearm, then like a 22 bolt action or a single shot, yeah, would probably be way to go. I think it just kind of depends on the kid. Like I also don't have kids, so I don't know.
I was like my wife, my kid, shooting. I'm like, what do you want? She's like, I just want to shoot. I'm like, all right. She doesn't shoot at anything. She doesn't aim anything. She just fires the rifle into the woods.
It's because she's Brazilian, dude.
Back there.
It's because she's Brazilian.
Dude, there's this, I don't know if you guys are on Reddit that much, but you know, like the subculture of like gun Reddit of like just being like completely autistic. Well, I met this one dude. He's a good friend of mine now. But I took him to the private gun club by my house, and like, he shows up. First off, he sends me a spreadsheet of all the guns he owns. And he was like, let me know if you ever want to borrow one of these to shoot them. And I go through, I think it's like 80 guns. And like, I go through all of them. I was like, there is not a single gun on here I want to borrow. It's like nothing but meme guns, like Chopper Rhino, High Points. Yeah, and he's got like a bunch of like ice and deep ones too. But I bring him out, and this fool, he has I think probably 1,000 rounds loaded in mags already, and he just lays out all of his guns on the ground, and like he just starts picking up like he's like, oh, I got this P-80 AR-10. He picks up a mag and just starts firing from the hip, like just magged up like an AR, like. I swear to God, he just wanted to feel the explosion.
That's awesome.
I had a plan like of things I wanted to work on while I was out there. I'm just watching and was like, oh wow, Reddit people are real.
Oh no, man. Yeah, dude, some people just love it. Like my wife, she wants to shoot. She's from South America, so where you can't have guns, right? She's from Brazil.
Oh,
so
nice.
Yeah, so she you know, I met her, she was here for a few years when I met her, and first time she's like, oh, I don't like that. Dude, you want to talk about someone who's like been red filled like crazy? The second I gave her a gun, the second she got her first paycheck here, she was like, dude, fuck the government. And I was like, yeah.
She is, can confirm, she is straight up a meme, dude. Like, she is that like college kid, like college graduate meme that's like, first paycheck, like, what the fuck? There's taxes here? Fuck the government, dude.
This is the best part. She asked me, she's like, hey, hon, who's Fika? Who's this bitch? And why is she trying to take my money? I'm like, oh, no, baby, that's Fika.
We need to roll like, up on Fika.
Hell yeah.
Dude, exactly. She was like, who is this bitch? We got to find her.
Oh, that's awesome.
Taxes. She's like, you already paid that. Better get medication. She's like, no, it's a whole another one. She's like, oh, yeah, dude, fuck this.
There's nothing wrong with that. You have this fun as hell. It's really just kind of up to the person, really. Like, I mean, I'll mag dump. I don't care.
Mag dump gun.
Oh,
like,
man.
It gets you off. That's the best one.
I used to, let me think. Right now, it's probably having like a 22 conversion kit in one of my ARs just because it doesn't hurt quite as bad to mag dump it. But probably an AK and any AK, just because like that action, like it feels like a locomotive that doesn't hurt, but it, you can feel the action cycling pretty good in your shoulder. Yeah,
there's a lot more thump, a lot more thump than an AR.
Yeah,
I think the first mag-up gun I ever did was an SKS that my cousin gave me.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, same thing. Oh, dude, it was. Oh, that's all it took me to get my first. I grew up with shotguns. I grew up a bird hunter. We would go bird duck hunt, right? Goose hunting, quail, pheasant. But so I never had a rifle growing up. But yeah, well, my cousin, he came back from the army and gave me an SKS to shoot. And I was like, oh yeah, dude, I'm all about automatic rifles now. The whole shotgun pistol world's dead to me. Well, I still do like pistol shooting, but it's just not as fun, man. It's something about holding a long rifle, like the range you have on the accuracy on it. For me, they're a lot more fun. Everybody that first starts out, they get really excited for shotguns. So that's what you see in the movie, right? Shotguns to blow in the hole in the wall and whatnot. But, oh, dude, for me, it's just absolutely a rifle. I've never gotten into long range, though. Like the 1,000-yard shots you talked about, I've always wanted to do that. It's the only thing I've never done. Mainly because I don't want to drop $4,000 on a damn scope.
Oh, dude, I was that dumbass going up there with like a $200 Vortex trying to hit $1,000.
Dude, I have one.
I still like Vortex.
Yeah, I think we all do, right?
Yeah. If you guys are ever out in Central Texas, let me know. You have to qualify to shoot out to 1,000. It gives up to a mile, but like I think 700 yards and in, you don't need to qualify.
So nice. I definitely got to ask you what's your personal preference on carry? So I'm in the market right now because I want to get a new pistol carry. Pretty much all my guns I have are like 4.5-inch barrel pistols. So it's more for target. That's what I've always used. I always just look target packing my pistols. I've never been a big carry. Mainly I love carrying. The only reason I never do is because I'm always going, every time I want to carry a gun, I'm always going to places I can't go, right? Going out to a bar, I'm going out in downtown, like say Houston or downtown Austin. I'm going to be going into different, not that I'm going to be drinking, but I'm going to be going into different places where you can't have a gun, right? So many places that I go to Central Texas, Austin. You can't still carry. And to me, it's a lot of times, I'm like, whatever, I can still carry. But with everything that's been going on lately, I'm like, I'm going to start carrying on a little bit more now, especially since I have a 2-month-old son.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be more proactive. I'm definitely going to carry more often now, more often. But the guns that I have, not comfort carry. So I was looking to get a new carry. I'm currently looking at the SIGs just because I love the way SIGs shoot.
Yeah.
But what do you prefer? Do you prefer like a subcompact 9, 40, 45? You go into that. I'd like to get your background on it.
Sure. So my answer, I'm going to give you the Project Runway. what I carry depends on the season.
There you go.
Yeah, so typically what I carry now, I used to carry an M&P shield. Those are great. But I lost about 27 pounds in the last year.
Congratulations.
Congrats.
Thank you. Yeah, still working on getting it down, but now what I carry is a Glock 43X. They make Shield Arms. Shield Arms makes a 15 round capacity, so it actually exceeds the SIG 365 capacity. And the SIG 365 is a great pistol too, by the way. Most of my friends carry that actually, and I just went with the 43X just because the SIG 365 had some cute quality control issues when it first came out. And I just went with the 43X. But I think all the problems with the 365 have been worked out in the last 2 years. But that's a fantastic pistol. I'm assuming that's one you're looking at.
It actually, reason why, yeah, absolutely. The reason why for me, dude, it just fits in my hand. Yeah. Freaking perfect. That gun, when I picked it up, I was like, holy hell, this is the first gun that I picked up. It just fit perfectly in my hand. And that was the main reason why. Like, just ease and comfort right away off the bat. Yeah. And I like Glock, but maybe it's just the ones I was shooting. But they always felt like plastic and like, just, they didn't feel like, I don't know, they didn't feel solid.
No, I mean,
they almost felt fake. They almost felt like they were fake guns when I would hold them or when I would shoot them. I just didn't like, I actually almost like a heavier gun with a heavier mm-hmm. handle. I feel like I'm in more control.
Yeah, yeah. And I think there's some truth to that, actually. Particularly like once you start getting into like metal frame guns, like you definitely have much more recoil control with that. I was the same with Glocks. I always tell people Glocks look the way 8-year-old boys draw guns.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
Or 3D printers.
Yeah, exactly. I like, for me, like, I'm pretty agnostic. Like, I pretty much like every, I've only shot one gun that I don't like, and that's the Ruger LCP.
Really?
See,
yeah, I carry an LC9, like, for a pocket gun. Or no, it is an LCP. Oh, LCP, nice. No, it's LCP2, the new and improved one, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's because Mikey was saying, like, I mean, like, for work, right? Like, we're in and out of office buildings that have, you know, in Texas, right? Like the 30-06, 30-07 signs. So you can't conceal carry, you can't open carry. So all the time I'm like in and out of my pocket trying to stash a gun. Right. So for me, I need something in my pocket, something that was cheap, and something that goes bang every time I pull the trigger. So for me, that was like a $280 LCP2. Right. So,
yeah.
It's okay. It does what it needs to do for me. Like, it's not my favorite gun ever, but, you know, again, yeah. it goes bang and I pull the trigger, right? So,
and I think that's the right answer too. Like, I'm looking at the LCP from the stance of like, I'm going to the range. What do I want to shoot today?
Yeah, whereas, not the like, LCP.
You're looking at it from a more pragmatic standpoint.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like the LCP and the Smith & Wesson Bodyguard. I've actually been looking at getting something for pocket carry too. Those are pretty much your two main options, the Bodyguard and the LCP too. But yeah, that 365 is great, man. Like, whatever, if it feels good to you, man, then you're gonna shoot it and you're gonna like it, and that's probably what you should go with. I try to avoid all like the brand tribalism that's
like Kimber.
What's up?
Well, I was gonna say, like, Kimber. Are you a Kimber fan?
I've actually never shot a Kimber.
You know what? Nobody likes 1911s except for me, Mikey. Because I'm a FUD.
Oh. Well, there is a Kimber subcompact 45.
Yeah, that, yeah.
That my buddy Matt knows him. Philly has. And, dude, that's a mean son of a bitch. Dude, I love that gun. I'm actually trying to find it right now online. I can't remember the model number of it.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, I like 1911s just because, like, to me, right, like, I grew up watching G.I. Joe. That's what I draw when I draw a gun, is like a big metal 1911. It's heavy. It hits hard. It's a fucking 45. I carry a 45 because God didn't make a 46. You know, like, it's just the whole thing. But I know it's literally 100 and what are we now? 109 years old. Like, it's just shitty. Yeah. Yeah, it's not great technology. We have much better guns now, but, you know, it's when I run out of ammo, I'll just beat you to death with it. So, so I still have respect for the 45 and for that style of pistol, you know.
Yeah, with the way ammo prices are lately, I was telling my friend, I was like, man, if I'm going to be paying 10 millimeter prices for 9mm, I'm
no
just going to get a 10 millimeter.
Yeah, no shit, man. Be like the FBI or whoever used to carry that shit.
Yeah. But especially with carry gun, I think whatever feels comfortable to you is probably the best way to go. Like, I've played around with a lot of different, most of like the more popular carry guns I've messed around with.
Yeah.
Either I've owned them or my friends own them, and I've shot theirs. But that SIG 365 and the 43X, I think, are probably the three most popular ones. But the 365 and the 43X definitely have the Shield beat as far as concealability go.
Yeah, I have an uncle that is a Fed. You know, I know. foot of rope.
Yes, he is. But, like a literal fed.
But yeah, he's, yeah, I know, he is. But yeah, they all carry the SIG 365. That's like him and all his buddies carry. Yeah, they're the ones that got me hooked on SIG. So, and I kind of fell in love with them after that. So maybe it was a bias, right? But definitely love the way they handle. And dude, speaking of that, are you into that whole 3D gun world as well, or have you dabbled in that yet?
Nah, I've got a Polymer 80 that I'm working on right now. It's a Glock 19 Polymer 80 that I'm building, and I'm gonna build the most obnoxious P80 Glock.
Should you life. Absolutely should.
But no, to answer your question, I haven't gotten enough 3D printing. I've got a lot of friends who are into it, but for me, like I work in tech for a day job, and like I don't want to do anything with tech. That's part of what got me also into guns. Like instead of like writing code for a living, like I just wanted to work with something with my hands. There you go.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Dude, got my printer in the background.
Like, I know you had, oh my God, what's his name, Matt? Come on the podcast.
Control Pew.
The 3D gun. Yes. And he kind of eased my worries about him for a little bit. I was worried about, I'm worried about the son of a bitch exploding in your hand.
Oh, no, dude. That's the thing. It's like with all the work that he's done and Ivan the Troll and that whole community, really, Deterrent Suspense and Defcad and all those guys.
Yeah.
You know, really, like it comes down to actual like firearms engineering, right? Like that, like when you think of the frame, like it's really just a frame. Like it's not containing the explosion; it's just carrying the parts that have to move. So, I mean, I've had a like my first AR was a polymer lower. Like it's a different; it's not 3D printed, but it was a polymer lower, and it's, you know, it's relatively safe for thousands of rounds. And same thing for them. I mean, you know, they've had trials and errors, obviously. And there are certainly you know, failure rates that occur, but they've done a lot of work to make sure that what they are producing is safe and repeatable and usable, basically. And especially for folks like not even in the States, or maybe in the States, like if you're in New Jersey or California or whatever, and like, you know, I'll get in trouble for saying that, but like, by God, you need a gun. But especially like in Europe, right, where they came out with the FGC9. Which is 3D printable mostly. You can, like, the fire control group is an airsoft fire control group, so you can purchase it, and like you home make the barrel, like with a different style of rifling that you do in a bucket with acid and a battery. You know, like it's all very safe and tested, and they put them through their paces and they work. So
yeah, the criticisms of 3D printed firearms kind of remind me of, like, I mean, I wasn't around or I wasn't old enough to remember it, but like the criticisms of Glocks in the 80s were like, oh yeah, it's a plastic gun, it's gonna blow up. It's like that all over again almost.
Absolutely. And again, it's just folks who don't really understand, and not saying that you don't understand, Mikey, but most of the most of the FUD type criticisms are the ones that come from folks who really just don't understand how firearms operate and like what different parts are intended to do. You know what I mean? But yeah, so I endorse 3D printed weapons.
Back to that ugly part. Yeah. Once they get those things a little bit more sexy and less looking like a kid's toy fire truck, like it looks like you grabbed a piece of toast and like you cut the trigger out of a piece of toast and you're shooting it. That's what I think of every time I see those guns. But I understand.
I'll show you some different ones.
Yeah, they've got some Gucci P80 Glocks now that are pretty.
Well, and you say that, but like literally Louis Vuitton like logos like printed into the frames.
Yeah.
In brown and gold.
Well, Matt, aren't you getting in on that?
Yeah, so that's, I've got the printer right. I've done a few like just, you know, like simple test prints to make sure it all works okay. I actually downloaded a bunch of files today and the slicer software and all that. So I'm going to start dabbling in some wares, I guess, over here. Some unserialized components.
Dude, we can do a show at my farm, like a live show, and we can record it.
Dude, I'm down.
Before you shooting all these guns to see if they work or not.
I'm super down. I'm way down.
Yeah. do a torture test. I'll retweet it for you.
Yeah, let's do it. Hey, like we should do it, and you should come. Like I'll do that. I will straight up. Yeah, I will straight up like print it out. I'll print something out, and we can do it at Mikey's place or one of your places. Yeah. Fuck it, let's do it.
Yeah,
oh, we gotta get a few though. I want to try like different styles, right? I want to just have one. I want to have like, I don't know what all be printed, but if we get like a variety and get out there and just stress everything out, right? How many rounds we can get through everything? How you know what the fatigue is on them? I'd have fun doing that. That'll also
do
calm me down on in my head. I don't know why I just need plastic gun for you. I'm like, yeah, people just fall apart. But I know if you said that, the way they've come so freaking far now.
Yeah, yeah, and, Matt, and you for, mentioned.
Sorry, go ahead.
Your first AR was printed. I've shot an AR-10s that the lower was printed, and yeah, they ran just fine. Actually, the one malfunction I saw was from a bull carrier group, actually, with and it was actually an ammo. It wasn't even a BCG. It was the ammo. It was just a hard primer.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, which is saying something, honestly. And it wasn't printed, but it was polymer. It's a New Frontier polymer. So it was cheap.
Yeah.
I got a complete lower for like $100. So I was like, fuck it, let's just do it, you know.
do you guys do any hog hunting or anything?
When I can.
Yeah. So I used to when I was younger. Like I kind of went through a phase. I grew up hunting, right? My family, we have like 3,000 acres in New Mexico and a big ranch, so mule deer hunting, antelope hunting, coyote, all that, you know, wolf, all that good stuff growing up. And then my ranch here outside of town, we got, it's mainly more for birds, but yeah, we got deer. They're not that big, they're decent size, right? So we'll, you know, bow hunt deer, and we hog hunted like crazy when I was growing up. And I don't know if I just got like softer as I got older, but now I'm like, I don't want to kill shit anymore. I know that sounds kind of like bitch to most people, but I think it's just because like I grew up hunting so much. Well, one, the novelty kind of wore off. I still enjoy it. I enjoy bird hunting probably the most. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to like, I guess hog hunting or bigger game, if I'm not going to, I'm at that point where it's like, if I'm not going to use the meat, like I don't like to kill anymore, right? So mm-hmm. I don't hog hunt like I used to. I used to, like, I was 18, 19, I didn't do, me and my buddies would go out there with, you know, 10,000 rounds, and anything that moved was dying that night, right? It didn't matter what the hell it was.
Yes.
But I've gotten a little bit softer, but yeah, I still do go. Usually the way it happens is we go out to my ranch, I sit by the fire and drink beer, and my buddies go off and go hog hunting, and I just wait for them to come back.
Well, that's true, because what I used to do is go spotlight rabbits at their place, mm-hmm. And Mikey would not go. And I swear a couple of times I saw tears in your eyes when we came back with those cottontails, dude.
No, but we ate them. Remember? I made
you. Oh, we ate the shit out of them. They were delicious.
Oh yeah. Rabbit and squirrel. Like that's like, I only take those if I'm going to eat them, and I always eat them.
Yeah.
I'm actually getting into blowgun hunting with cottontails.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
What was that? I didn't catch that. You're into what hunting?
Bluegun hunting with rabbits.
Oh, shit. That's fucking wild. That's like a whole new world, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so usually I'll take like a green, like one of those green flashlights so you can catch your eyes and illuminate it. And like you're looking at like a 10, 15 yard shot, really.
Right.
But I just picked up one of those. I think they got them at Camellas or whatever, but I mess around with those in my garage and stuff, and that's how I started getting into last winter. But speaking of 45, what was it? Recently, what I've been testing on hogs is this.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude! That's a fucking dump truck right there. It's a bulldozer.
This thing is stupid.
Between that and 458 SOCOM, dude, like that's about all you need.
Well, dude, you gotta have a big fucking bullet, man. I got traumatized when I was like 8 years old. My dad, we had a hog pen at my ranch, and we caught 9 hogs, a mama, a daddy, and 7 babies. And we roll up, my dad and all his buddies are like, "Oh hell yeah, we're gonna you eat the piglets. The piglets actually are pretty damn good."
Yep.
And they were actually pink because they're interbreeding with a lot of the local pigs. So you have like these half breed, like wild / domesticated hogs. But I remember my old man gave me .357. He walked to me. He was like, "All right, you're gonna shoot them right between the eyes, all right?" and he gave me 357, and I shot him right between the eyes. Dude, all it did was piss him off. That big old boar started screaming and throwing blood everywhere. He was like, do it again. I shot that poor pig like 10 fucking times. All the piglets were screaming. That boar still would not go down. And I was fucking traumatized, man. I was like, Dad, don't make me do this anymore. He said, go knock him down, man. It'll be all right.
And that's why Mikey can't hunt anymore.
Yeah, it took me a few years to kind of be like, all right, I go hunt him again. But yeah, a 357 to the forehead of a boar doesn't do shit if I piss him off. I learned that at a young age.
Yeah, they're tough. I've used everything from 6.5 Creedmoor to 7.62x39. I've even used 22 on hogs too. Cool. Yeah, you got to put it either in the ear or the eyes.
I mean, and the last one I shot was a 223, and it was, you know, everybody's like, oh, you can't hunt with an AR. And I just had some like throwaway, like cheap 223 that I wanted to get rid of. And, you know, I fucking lunged it, and it took it a few seconds, but it died, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. With 223, typically I just go for headshots.
Yeah.
Point.
Yeah. I missed. No, I was, look, I'll admit I was drunk. You know, it happens.
Yeah. It happens. Oh man. Yeah. The 450 Bushmaster, that's what I've been playing with lately. There's this, I posted a picture of it, Matt, last week, but I'm supposed to go out on Tuesday, but I haven't been feeling too hot. But it's like this demonic hog, that's this landowner sent me a picture of. Like, I mean, let me see if I can find it. I'll send it to you real quick. Okay. But this thing is nasty. Like it looks like something, like it looks like it was like engineered as a weapon.
That's awesome.
But yeah, the 450 has been that's probably what I'm going to give to like new hunters, because you've got like a bigger margin of error with that.
Sure Like I said, it's a bit of a...
I just DM'd you the picture. Okay. Of that monster hog. It's like the Turbo Chad boss hog.
Oh yeah, I got it. Holy shit, dude. Is that foam? Is that foam on its mouth?
I think those are its cutters, I think, but it could be foam.
I don't know, dude.
It just fucking killed someone.
Mikey, I'm gonna text it to you. But yeah, like I said, like the 450, dude, it's a bulldozer, right? So it doesn't matter where you hit it, like it's going down.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Like I saw a dude recently, he's like, my deer hunting round is a 450 because like I don't have to aim that well. I don't have to be a great shot, and it's like the deer's down. Like I don't have to chase it. Like it's going down.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm probably going to be giving to like any new hunters that I think. Yeah. That's actually what I enjoy the most, hunting over like target shooting and stuff. For me, it's mostly just being away from the city. That's what I want.
Oh, yeah.
No, I hear that. And especially like for hogs, right? Like you're doing. What's that?
Oh, sorry. My bad. I didn't mean to talk about it. No, I was in that picture. I was like, you're going to have to tannerite hog hunt that day.
Yeah.
But no, like for hog hunting, like especially folks who aren't like, you know, from the South, I guess. Like I'm sure we have hog problems everywhere in the country, but like down here, man, it's a fucking pest. So like, no one even keeps them. You just like shoot them and leave them. Maybe you gut them so the coyotes come, but like, you know, they're more of a problem than not. Like at Mikey's place, they tear everything up. His family has trees out there and irrigation systems and all kind of stuff. And like, it makes a big mess and costs them more money than anything else. So, you know, fuck them. Leave them. I hate hogs.
Right?
What's that?
They're like in Spain, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Like, it's one of those early expeditions that came over, they got loose, you know, and now we have them. They get wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Feral hogs do $400 million in property damage here in Texas alone.
There you go. And they have like 3 litters a year.
Right there. Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's funny too, because like when you think of hunters, you typically think of like people who are like trying to take the most ethical shot. Like they've got like this almost like a mystic approach or a spiritual approach to hunting. But when it comes to hogs, like it just awakens something primitive. People are just like, well, I, not fucking cockroaches. approaches.
Yeah, and I get that. Like, if you're going to stalk hunt, you know, like a deer, like with a bow, right? Or whatever. Like, you just, I'm thinking of like the hardest thing you could do, right?
Yeah, elk, moose.
Yeah, like I get that spiritual aspect, or like go like bear hunting or something, like where you have to be close to make sure it goes down, but it's also dangerous because you're so close. Like, I get that part of it. But like when it comes to hogs, where they do so much damage, or if you're like an actual rancher, like with cattle and shit like that, and you have like coyotes or whatever, I mean, fuck them. Like they're cockroaches. Like, just, you got to get rid of them.
Yeah, that's why, like, whenever I post like the digital thermal recordings from my hog hunts on my YouTube channel,
yeah,
like I always have that preface. I don't even call it hunting; I just call it eradication. Just
that's exactly what it is.
There are no misconceptions about what's about to happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's exactly what it is. And honestly, man, it's like, you know, the sows are so mean too, because like the piglets will stick with the sows, right? Because they gotta like still drink milk and shit, but they'll, if they get up on a feeder, right? Like, I'm sure you've seen this. Who goes out first, the sow or the piglets?
Is that for me or
that was for you or either one of y'all? Because in my experience, they send the piglets out first, and those are the ones that get shot.
The way I've seen it is like it's like a trickle almost how they come out. Like,
yeah.
Usually I won't have a spotlight because nowadays I'm using like digital thermal, but
right.
Yeah, so like you see like them trickle out slowly, and then all of a sudden they go full force out. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
It's typically smaller.
Yeah, for me it's like they'll send the young ones out, and it's like they're almost like sacrificing because they know what's coming.
Yeah.
Like, they're still smart animals for as dumb as they are, but like, you know, they know what's going to happen. And it's like, you know what? I don't have any sympathy for that. Like they're not trying to protect their brood, you know, they're just like, fuck it. Y'all go see if you get shot first, then we're going to go out there.
Yeah. And like now I think sows can reproduce at,
it's like three litters a year.
Yeah. Yeah. They have two.
Yeah.
They can start reproducing at 3 to 6 months old. They have two litters a year. Like
that's correct.
Nine to 12 piglets, each litter.
Yeah, which is wild. So you end up
using dogs and a butcher knife.
No, I haven't done that.
Yet. See, you haven't done that yet. That's a
whole other world, yeah. I was going to say, I give you like 2 or 3 years, and you're going to be out there like in your underwear covered in like fake blood with a giant butcher knife.
With the Rambo bandana.
Chasing down hogs. Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's more common in like Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, doing it like that with dogs. I kind of draw the line there just because like the dogs get fucked up doing that.
Yeah, those pit bulls.
Yeah.
Exactly. They use those poor pit, man. Yeah, I've watched a lot of YouTube videos of that. Those dogs can get fucking.
Ugh. Yeah, it's a little dangerous, you know, because they got to go in there, they got to grab them by the ear, and they just hold them. As long as you can grab the pig by the ear, like they won't move, but the dog has to get in there. And if they got those fucking cutters, right, like it could be really bad because they're like razor sharp. So you don't want, you have to send your dog with a Kevlar and shit, and it's just not
good. What's it like out where you guys are at? Here in Central Texas, the hogs don't have really big tusks. Like they'll have them, but they won't be huge. Do they got big cutters out where you're at?
I don't think so.
Not really. They really don't. They have little ones on them. It's because we're at where the hill country meets the the Gulf Coast plains or whatnot.
Yeah, for the most part.
My range is like where the hill country is, like right at the end of the foothills, and where it goes into the rice fields. And there's really not any, man. I feel like you have to get like deep into South Texas, or get over actually out in
East Texas.
My buddy, my buddy has a ranch in Graham, Texas, and they have some big damn hogs with big ass cutters on. So I do know up there in that north, I guess that would be like what, northeast? Because Graham is near PK Lake, Boston Kingdom.
Oh, okay. So it's like west of Dallas or whatever, west of Dallas, like the Metroplex.
Exactly. And I'll shoot y'all some videos, man. He sends me videos of them tannerite hog hunting, like blowing hogs 100 yards away with tannerite.
Yeah.
They're a whole new animal.
Yeah. I think it just kind of depends on, you know, like obviously where you are. But I mean, like the actual, the surroundings there. So like if you're like, we have hogs in the city that sometimes get found, sometimes don't get found. Like Kingwood had this like outbreak of like, you know, 20 or 30 hogs that they sent people out to go hunt. But they weren't big. But even at like Mikey's place, like I just, y'all don't have that many hogs there anymore. Cause I haven't seen that many out there. There's no sign. They're not wallowing around anywhere. So you may have a few come through like up from the creek, right? But like they don't really stay there. So yeah. I think people kill them before they get too big. Right. But I think they end up getting killed if they're too big. But if you're really like kind of out in the boonies or you have like a couple thousand acres somewhere where you just don't get out to it all the time, even here, there could be a chance for a hog to get like, you know, 400 pounds with like 3, 4, 5 inch tusks or whatever. Like it could get crazy, but I think people just, they kill them too soon now. So.
I think it was the Department of Wildlife and Game came out with a stat where like Texas would have to kill 60% of the feral hog population every year to keep the population flat.
And that's the thing, right? Year on year, you have to do that, which 60% of that population is still a shit ton of fucking hogs.
Yeah.
And we don't even put a dent in that. For all the people that go out and like heli hogs, like you can go kill 100 hogs in one flight. Like, you're not even coming close to like eradicating what's in that one, like one little area. So it's a lot of work to try and get rid of the hogs.
The most effective way to deal with the population is poison, but like you have all sorts of externalities that come
That's right.
That.
That's right.
Like to your point, hunting barely puts a dent in it. Like if you really want to make a difference into the population, like you have to use something extreme like poison, which it's going to fuck up the ecosystem, have all sorts of effects on the other wildlife in the area. But yeah, it's interesting because like I'll meet people from California, from like Chicago and like the New England area. And like, even at this point now, like they've heard like, oh yeah, Texas has it bad with feral hogs. Like it's like becoming like common knowledge that it's a problem now.
Right.
I wonder the state, you know, the state should do what they, so where my ranch is in New Mexico, we had a coyote problem and they were killing freaking everything. They were eating, they were just overwhelming that portion of the state. Matt, remember that's when we went?
Yeah.
And we went to go coyote hunting and we, you know, we're all the way to New Mexico and we get out there and there was nothing. We're like, what the hell?
No, we saw one that could have been a damn wolf, but it was on somebody's property.
That was majestic. But. But remember we went to town and we talked, I was like, hey man, we went to like a hardware store. And I go, dude, what's going on? Where are all the coyotes at? He goes, oh, well, the state put $20 a pelt on them.
Yep.
So everybody went out and just collected the pelts. And that happened for like 9 months. He said guys would go out, you know, kill 15, 20 coyotes in the morning, and, you know, make $200.
Yep.
Yeah, we've in Gonzales County here in Texas. There's a $5 bounty on hogs. So, like, if you bring in a hog tail, for like, I don't know where you're going to take it, but you get like a $5 bounty.
Up that up a little bit, man.
Yeah,
that bullet costs more than $5.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, these days.
Especially if you're using 450 Bushmaster.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, or they should make something like, oh, if you kill hogs, you get like a free beer permit. kill 20 hogs and you get a free deer.
You get an extra tag.
Extra tag. Bro, that's an awesome incentive right there.
Yeah. Or an extra entry into like one of the extra entry into one of the like the public hunts or whatever that Texas Parks and Wildlife does.
Damn, yeah, that's like the downside. It's a good thing, but it's also one of the downsides of Texas. I think it's like 96% of Texas land is privately owned. So like, a lot of folks who have lots of public land in their state, like when they hear about like paying to hunt on a ranch or whatever, they're kind of like turn their nose up to it. But like a lot of these ranch owners, like that's their way to like filter out the bubbas and stuff who are going to come out their property and like do stupid shit. That's the way they filter out the riffraff. And,
that's right.
But like all the public land in Texas is like either overpressured or it's just filled with people you don't want to be hunting around.
Well, that was part of us joining the union, right, guys? Like there would be no federal land in Texas.
There's still federal land. It's just, I don't know, for whatever reason. Texas is Texas, right? We're always a little bit different. So everything is fenced. Everything is privately owned for the most part. And it just is the way it is. Like, it kind of sucks, but I mean, I mean, if it wasn't federal, it'd still be state owned, which there's still some state owned land that you can hunt on.
Yeah, the BLM, I think.
Yeah, or, yeah.
What do we call it here in Texas? It's like
Yeah, it's like WPA or that's
from the 30s. Yeah,
is that what it is? There's one here near us, Mikey, that a friend of mine, like, they live down in, well, I'll tell you later, but it's 15 minutes from the house, 10 minutes from the house. And they can ride like their golf cart down there to it. Like his daughter does that frequently.
Huh. I didn't know we had public land.
Yeah, it's, and also a lot of the public land, at least in central Texas, it's like what little public land allows hunting, it's like shotgun only.
Yeah, yeah. That's the shitty part. Which, yeah, I mean, I guess you can just load up with slugs, but, you know.
Yeah,
it's not fun.
That's
true, not fun.
Have you gotten any bows yet? Or are you sticking with the guns now?
Yeah, I have not gotten into archery yet. So I'm building a house in Lakeway, Texas right now. And
don't tell my wife that. She loves that part.
Yeah,
that's where she wants to go.
The Undertaker is going to be in my neighborhood.
Nice.
But yeah, I'm gonna try to avoid fanboying out when I run into him at the grocery store. But yeah, there's an archery shop maybe 8 minutes from my neighborhood, and that's probably once the house finishes out that way, that's when I'm gonna probably get into archery.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I've never really gotten to either. My buddies will come out to my ranch and they'll bow hunt, never really gotten into that one yet. And also, it's another thing, man, bows are damn expensive. I'm like, I'll just buy a gun. That's what happens. I'm like, I'll get a bow. And I go into the store, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to buy a gun.
Yeah. I was looking at a Hoyt, and I was like, I could buy a Daniel Defense for this.
Holy shit. That's an expensive-ass bow, dude.
Yeah, and then, like, they're so delicate, too. Like,
right.
If you leave it in your car in the summer, like, well, your bow's wrecked.
Yeah, yeah, no shit.
I didn't know that. Damn.
Yeah, or at least that's what the cashier told me. He was like, you have no idea how many times people come in here, like they leave their bows in the garage over the summer, and they're like, how much is this worth? And they'll be like, absolutely nothing. It's ruined.
Yeah, no, I mean, I could see that happening though, with like all the like fiberglass and carbon fiber and shit like that now. Like, you know, it can't take heat for that long.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, dude. I'm scared of them. I've dry fired some of those before, dude. Holy shit! If the whiplash you get from those things, those cuts on your arm, dude. Mm-hmm. That's another traumatizing event for me when I was at my buddy's ranch. I was just shooting some arrows with his bow, and with his compound bow, and I got fucking whiplash, mainly because I was probably doing completely wrong, right? And I was like, dude, fuck, this hurts. I was like, a gun's way safer than that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I did like Boy Scouts archery as a kid. I remember that whip on your forearm.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently, it has to do with technique. Like, they sell guards that you can use, but apparently, it's how you're gripping the bow. And the dude at the shop was like talking trash, like, "Oh yeah, that's just noobs." And I was like, I don't know if that's true or not, but I just know it hurts like a motherfucker.
All I learned is that Mikey's childhood is filled with traumatic events, and that's why he is the way that he is.
It was probably such a like low key life. I just in my head, I'm talking about
it. You just remember the high parts. Probably, that's it.
Yeah, I probably like felt the recoil and thought I got hit, and was like,
"That's right. Horrible." That's right. That's right.
They're in the trees. They're in the trees.
Yeah. All right. Well, did we miss anything? Is there any topics that you want to cover before we get out of here? That was for you, Citizen Hush.
Oh, gotcha. Nah, man, this has been cool, man. The three of us should get together sometime, man. It's been good. I'm
down with that.
Pleasantly surprised. Coming here from Virginia several years ago, like. I thought Texas was pretty much just like neocon central, but like pretty much everyone I've met has been like libertarian or libertarian adjacent.
Yeah,
and it's been cool. Where I always thought I was like, I always thought I had to like keep the ANCAP and libertarian side like under wraps a little bit.
Sure.
Now I was out in like Comanche, Texas, and like Medina, Texas.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
Really, I guess like the Texas Bible Belt,
yes.
And like most of them, are like, nah, man, we just hate the government.
That's pretty accurate.
Almost all Texans, yeah, I feel like most Texans are ANCAPs and libertarians. They just don't know they are.
Yes,
and
that's correct.
Like, our parents' generation of Texans was your basic just rah rah Republicans, right? I feel like
yes.
You know, us in our 20s and 30s, I feel like everyone I meet is pretty much an ANCAP. Or anarchist, or whatever you want to call them, it's just either A, they don't know it, or B, they know it, and they're just like, oh, well, fuck it, I'm just going to vote Republican because the other person's worse. That's kind of like everyone.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's been my experience. And I think you can probably extend that into like most of the country too. Like, if you think about like what like the moderate base in this country is. Like most of them are fiscally conservative on paper and then socially liberal. And I was like, well, there's a word for that. It's called libertarian.
It's close to accurate. Yeah.
Especially when it comes to like communities, right? But that's why like almost every city and county in America is red. You know, if you actually look at it on a map, right? Like every county votes red. And then you have like two cities in every state where the majority of the population is votes blue. Like, it's as local, everyone locally, even if you look at the majority of like mayors across the U.S. or you know, city councils, you know, in all the little towns, it's like everyone's red for the most part because local policy affects you, right? So you see local increases in any type of tax or anything, or you see what projects are going on, right? If your taxes get jacked up in a small town, all of a sudden you don't see anywhere. You're like, well, where the hell is that road at? You know,
yeah.
People are a little bit more cognizant. Local.
Yeah, and then like in Central Texas too, you've got like small five acre homes that they got cattle in their front yard now because that ag exemption is the only way they can afford the property tax.
That's right.
Our property taxes last year went up like my dad said like $15,000 in 1 year, He went out and it's a tree farm. That's how we got around it for years and years. But now he has like millions of dollars of trees out there. Worth of trees. It's not that we even sell them. It's just the ag extension, right? Mm-hmm. He sells like a few of them. And so finally he went and bought it and the county, I guess, I don't know who the hell he bought it to. He was like, well, you can burn down all your trees and we'll give you your new exemption back or your old tax bracket back. He's like, well, what the hell can I do? And they were like, and he bought it again. They're like, well, our job is to bring in money. My dad was like, your job's not to bring in fucking money. It's to support us, the local farmers. So finally, we planted bahia. I forgot what we stocked our pond with fish, and then we allowed the neighbors to let all of his cattle graze. So we picked up like three more exemptions to knock the taxes down because the taxes on our property was going to be like $50,000 a year.
I've fed those cattle.
Yeah, you can't feed the cows at chill as hell. I don't even.
Well, there's one that's an asshole.
Texas, are just insane. The property taxes in Texas, and that's why no one can afford, like you said, to go hunt and do stuff here. And like, it's insane. The property taxes here. Like, yeah, we don't have income taxes. People are like, yeah, there's no income taxes here. I'm like, yeah, if you don't own property, that's fucking awesome. But like, everyone in Texas is like, your dream is to own property, right? Everybody. And you can't freaking afford it because of the taxes.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And like, your property is more likely to be worth $500,000 or more versus your income.
That's right. That's right.
Oh yeah.
Well, and you'll know this in Lakeway. I mean, I'm sure that house wasn't super cheap. And you know, what are your taxes like out there? You know,
they're better than where I am right now.
That's impressive. That's impressive.
I think I'm 3.2% here in Travis County.
You're still lower than me.
Yeah, we're 3.6.
Yep.
Oh,
we're
3.6.
God. Yep.
That is absurd.
Yep.
Yeah, I think Lakeway is like 2.8, 2.6.
Holy shit, that's awesome. But see, we're in a mud, and it's a new mud. We're in a new neighborhood, so we still got to pay that motherfucker off. So have fun with that.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like a third of my house payment is principal, a third is interest, and a third is the fucking taxes.
Yep.
Like legit, like third.
Yep, that's about right.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like my mortgage statement somewhere.
I
feel your pain.
Well, you're going to have to, when you run into Joe Rogan, you're going to tell him, don't vote blue. Down over there for you.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm going to tell him to have you guys on his show.
Yeah, so that's the thing. When you run into Alex Jones and Tim Kennedy out at the range, you tell them to get their boy Rogan to vote in the right way and have us on the show, and it'll be all be good.
Yeah, for sure, man. That's for perfect. Sure. Yeah, no. That's it. Yeah, you guys mentioned being out past Hill Country. You know Rock Spring out that yep. way? Yeah, that's... Yeah. That's probably in like 3 to 5 years. I'm looking at buying like not a ton of acreage, like maybe like 50 acres or something. Because like I think like Rock Spring, Edwards County area, that's like mm-hmm. the last affordable part of Hill Country.
yeah. Probably.
You can get some decent land like if you want to go to like Fredericksburg, like mm-hmm. out that way, but you have to go really west, right? So you're either going towards Rock Springs or you're going like really, really west, out past Kerrville, like in between Kerrville and Junction. It's mm-hmm. like the last land you can get before it turns to desert.
Yeah, but even that, I mean, like Junction is expensive as hell, but if you go to where it's desert, then it's cheap again. It's like $7.50 an acre because no one wants to be out there and there's no access, but I digress. I've looked.
yeah, it sounds like we frequent the same sites.
Yes, probably so.
Where can I live as far away from people but keep Amazon?
That's right. That's right.
Everybody's goal.
Well, all right, guys. I think we've covered just about everything. So I'm gonna take us out. So y'all know what to do. Or no, not yet. Not yet. First, we need plugs, actually. So Mr. Hush, Citizen Hush, please give us all your plugs.
Oh yeah, for sure. So it's pretty easy on Twitter and YouTube, I'm Citizen Hush. And then also on Instagram, I'm The Alamo Trap House. You guys get that joke because Alamo Draft House is here in Texas.
Yes, we understand.
No one else gets it. Everyone's like, oh, Alamo, he's from Texas. That makes sense.
All right. Well, now y'all know what to do. Like, share, subscribe, tell your mom, tell your dad, tell your dog, tell your hog hunting crazy redneck neighbor with a 450 Bushmaster to like the show and listen. And we'll see y'all next week. Peace. Cross a 57 Chevy with a hillbilly band. Had a little honky tonk filled with one night stands. Take a tail on fire with a gun so steel. In a dark house space just to seal the deal. Top 40 country, better watch your back, 'cause this hot rod's faster than your Cadillac.